Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The title of our message on this Pentecost Sunday is this. By the way, it's time for true confessions. How many read the sermon title on our church sign this morning? Oh, pay more attention to that church sign. Every week, Kevin McDowell puts the sermon title on there. And he's so kind to make it match with what I'm actually going to be preaching about. Our title is, Things Aren't Always What They Seem. Based on our Acts 2 lesson, which reads these two verses, all were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, what does this mean? But others mocking said, ah, they are just filled with new wine. Please follow along in your sermon outline as we consider our theme, Things Aren't Always What They Seem. Do you know that things in all of our lives aren't always what they seem? Have you heard the story about the spider who tried to woo a fly into her spider web? To that invitation, the fly, who prided himself on having a high IQ, responded with a tone of suspicion and said, I think, Sister Spider, I'll pass on your invitation. I don't see any other flies there, and I'm not coming all by myself. Soon after, this fairly intelligent fly saw a large number of flies buzzing together on a shiny piece of black paper hanging from the ceiling. Immediately, he made plans to join them. But a split second before he landed, a bee yelled out, don't go there! That's fly paper! That'll be the end of you! But the fairly intelligent fly shouted back, ridiculous! I plainly see a big crowd of flies there. That many flies can't be wrong. And with that, he landed on the sticky fly paper and met the same fate as did his friends. You see, no matter how many people believe something, sometimes some things aren't what they seem. This is true for people as well as flies. Most of us have a tendency to accept outward appearances as being true and authentic. But think how many Hollywood movies you have seen that give you false impressions and fake illusions. Have you ever noticed in a movie, in a Hollywood movie, that no movie hero ever has a hard time finding a parking place in the midst of the biggest city? He just drives right up to his destination and there's a parking place. Yesterday, Beverly and I went to Vancouver. Boy, was it hard to find a parking place. And then, isn't it amazing in kung fu movies? Hi-ya! How? 20 guys grimace and grunt. But they all politely wait their turn, one after the other, to attack the good guy? Right. And isn't it wonderful how in Hollywood movies, the chief bad guy, who shoots his sidekick for messing up a mission, never seems to run out of other bad guys to take the dead guy's place. You know, if I were one of those guys, I'd be looking for another line of work. I don't know why we accept Hollywood's absurdities, but I do know this. Things aren't always what they seem. This is certainly true when it comes to Jesus and His church. Now, I'm pretty sure most of you realize the last sentence I just spoke is a transition, an entry level into the very theme of the message. But if you think you can doze off now, and you know who you are, I count on my finger the same four people every Sunday who about this time are gone. You know who you are. If you think you can doze off because now you have the rest of the sermon figured out, remember the title of the sermon, Things Aren't Always what they seem. This is certainly true when it comes to Jesus. Jesus isn't always what he seems to be. Now, you ask the average Jane or average Joe on the street to describe our Savior, and they'll come up with an interesting list. They will tell you Jesus was good and kind and caring and nice and a whole other list of kind attributes. Now, Jesus certainly was all those things, but he was much more than that. Did you realize one of the main reasons Jesus was crucified was because he was considered too dangerous to let live? Many of the upstanding religious citizens of his day were convinced that Jesus was a devil. He was a blasphemer. He was a serious partygoer who much rather would hang out with big-time sinners than good, respectable church folks. And the leaders of the religious establishment, the Pharisees, plotted against Jesus and had him railroaded to his death because they figured it was better for him to die than for him to bring the wrath of the Roman government upon their land. And Pontius Pilate, the highest Roman official of that era, mistook Jesus for a possible political insurrectionist and had him executed in a death just for thieves and murderers. You see, Jesus isn't always what he seems. It was Jesus' commitment to you, his commitment to you to save you from an eternal hell because of your sins and offenses, that had him beaten and whipped and mocked and crowned with thorns, that was crucified. That was the reason. Not because the whole thing was an unfortunate tragedy. It was his courage, not his cowardice, that kept him on that cross for you. His life was not taken by angry men. It was given by his love for you as a sacrifice that you might be forgiven, that you might be given the gift of heaven. You see, things aren't always what they seem. At the Last Supper, after our dear Lord Jesus Christ had plainly told his disciples about his death that was coming and tried to comfort them, you guessed it, they didn't understand. They didn't understand either when he went to the Garden of Gethsemane to pray. And there in that garden, as he prayed, the sins of the whole world, your sins and mine, were placed upon him. He asked the disciples to stay awake with him and pray, but they didn't get it. And when he was arrested and put in trial and crucified, all but one of them, the Apostle John, were hiding behind closed doors. They didn't get it. They didn't understand that things aren't always what they seem. When Jesus was crucified, it seemed that his death was the end of his story. It seemed that his message had been silenced. It seemed that his promises were buried with him in a borrowed grave. It seemed like God had lost and evil had won, and death's reign would remain unchallenged. That's the way it seemed, but things aren't always what they seem. 3 days after Jesus' lifeless body was put in a borrowed grave and sealed behind a great stone, he came back to life. It was the singular, most spectacular, most eternity-changing event in the history of mankind. Because Jesus arose from the grave, all who believe in him as their Redeemer are freed from sin, freed from Satan, and freed from death itself. Now you'd think, upon hearing that news, his disciples should have been dancing and shouting and telling everyone that he was risen. But they didn't. Not then. Not yet. Even when they met the risen Lord in that upper room and He showed them His pierced hands and feet, they didn't quite get it. They didn't understand what they were supposed to do, even after numerous post-resurrection appearances. And up to the very moment that Jesus arose back to heaven, they were confused. Just before Jesus ascended back to the Father, the disciples asked Him a stupid question, recorded in Acts 1, verse 6. Listen to the question. Lord, are You at this time going to restore Israel? You might say, it seems pretty clear to me what they should be doing. They should be proclaiming Jesus' resurrection victory. But remember, things aren't always what they seem. And here is where we get to today's Acts 2 lesson, the account of Pentecost. Listen again to a few verses of this wonderful passage. When the day of Pentecost came, they were gathered in one place, and the sound of a mighty rushing wind came, and tongues of fire rested upon each of them, and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. And people from many nations who were in Jerusalem were bewildered, saying, "How is it that we hear this message spoken in our own languages? Are these not who speak Galileans?" And they were amazed and perplexed and said, "What does this mean?" But others, mocking, said, "They're just filled with new wine." Here is a powerful miracle and the birth of the new Christian church. Here, the message of Christ's gospel is being proclaimed in numerous languages, understood by numerous language people, all at the same time, spoken by uneducated, blue-collar working Galileans. And some who heard this miracle said, they're just all drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning. But it was a powerful miracle of the Holy Spirit. You see, things aren't always what they seem. This was the day of Pentecost. 50 days after Easter, this was the day Jesus kept His promise to His disciples that after He ascended to the Father, He would send His Spirit to them. This was the day the Spirit came as a rushing wind and tongues of fire. This was the day the disciples got it. And they began to proclaim the message in all nations, to all languages. This was the day visitors from all over the world who came to Jerusalem heard the gospel in their own language. This was the day the Holy Spirit gave birth to the new Christian church, and 3,000 souls were saved and joined that church on that day. What a sermon! What a day! Today is Pentecost Sunday. Now, Pentecost is meant to be a major celebration in the church, like Christmas or Easter. Now, this would seem to be the case, but remember, things aren't always what they seem. Some people, maybe you as well, are saying today, Pentecost Sunday, blah, 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 blah. It's all quite boring. No one's putting Pentecost lights on their house. No one's sending Pentecost cards. There are no Pentecost carols blaring over the shopping mall speaker system. There's no newspaper that says only 2 more shopping days till Pentecost. The birthday of the church, big deal. And you've also been listening, haven't you, to the news reports about Christ's church? You know, the bad stuff that always gets the headlines in the news. The good things hardly ever make the evening TV news. You've heard the reports, haven't you, of priests abusing children? You've seen the headlines of one preacher after another caught in a scandal. You've watched TV as a flamboyant preacher promises the Lord will give you anything you want if you just make a big donation to his TV show. You've sat in irritated annoyance with me, haven't you? As some jackass preacher on television promises your physical healing if you'll just buy his blessed prayer cloth or the dirt he dug from the streets of Jerusalem. Yes, I can understand why some people today feel that Jesus and his church have nothing to offer them, and why a day like Pentecost, the birthday of the church, is no big deal. And I wish I could argue with these people, but I can't. But what I can do, and what you can do, is say this as clearly as we are able. Things aren't always what they seem. Yes, there are clergy scandals. But for every preacher that's been an embarrassment to Jesus and his church, I can show you hundreds who faithfully preach God's word and the salvation message of our Savior Jesus. And yes, there are a handful of stupid and silly shenanigans by TV preachers and radio evangelists. But there are countless Christian messengers on the airwaves whose ministries are above reproach. Just one example. And one example that's in your bulletin every Sunday. Have you paid attention to it? It tells you where to go to find it. It's called the Lutheran Hour. Who, by radio and TV and now the internet, a combined 75 years plus of faithful gospel ministries. You see, some things are not always what they seem. Let me let you in on a little secret. Don't tell anybody. There are even some not-so-nice Christians running around out there. Oh, yes. Some not-so-nice Christians. I'm not surprised, neither should you be, because we are sinners, all of us. But it's a mistake for anyone to pass judgment on Jesus because of the faults of a few of his followers. Yet we all know our need to repent and to be a better witness for Jesus in the face of an unbelieving world. And this is what we remember on Pentecost. Jesus sent his promised Holy Spirit to transform the thick-headed disciples filled with cowardice into those who would turn the world upside down for the cause of Christ. My friends, this same Holy Spirit is at work today. He is creating faith in your heart and the faith of all the hearts of those who hear the good news about Jesus. He comforts you in your time of loss. He strengthens you in your time of weakness. He removes from you the fear of death. He continues to build the church all over the world. And if you want to see the Holy Spirit firsthand in work, I invite you, and you better come soon, we only have 4 weeks left. I invite you to come to our 1 o'clock adult instruction class and see the Spirit at work, creating new faith in people's hearts, bringing them for the first time to a saving faith in Christ our Lord by the power of His Word. My friends, this world and this life may be filled with things that cause you to be unsettled or unsure. And you may wonder, is anything in this world as it seems? You can be sure of this. The love of Jesus, your Savior, the forgiveness He has won for you on the cross, the victory He gives you at His empty grave, the ongoing work of His Holy Spirit to create and sustain faith and build His church, these things are absolutely sure. The words of Peter's sermon on that first Pentecost Sunday are being fulfilled today, as Peter said. And in the last days, God declares, I will pour out my Spirit, and it shall come to pass that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is God's promise. This promise was written in blood at the cross. This promise of God is true. It is indeed just exactly as it seems. You can count on it. In the name of Jesus. Blessed Pentecost Day to you. Amen. We now worship our